Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Guys in Ties podcast. This is Dustin, and with me is Rob. And he is on the phone. He's not in person because he's a working man, as we've said before. But something exciting is happening at the Guys in Ties podcast. You know, we started off a little bit differently today. We don't have the intro music, but that's because we have been picked up by the Armchair All-Americans Media Network, and that means that we are sponsored, baby. Let's go, Rob. We did it. We made it.
Selling out, bro. Selling out.
Selling out. No, but this is exciting for us. So we are going to have ads on the pod now, so we will start off with those for a little bit. And I hope that's not too much of a burden, but this is exciting for us. It's kind of validating. So thank you to everyone who's listening, who's been listening. Rob and I love doing this, and we can't wait to do many more with you guys. And, you know, we do have a lot of content coming up because we just won the national championship. I don't know if you know this, Rob. Were you there?
I know.
Rob was there. Rob was there. So we're going to get all into it. But first, we're going to talk about my bookie a little bit. You know, Rob, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for our advice, and usually it's on like what team to bet or how Virginia's going to do this week. And the truth is, we don't really know. We take good guesses, but we don't really know. And so, but if you know, if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. And remember, when you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting with as who you're betting on. And so you should check out my bookie because they have the best in-game service. They have live betting. And you can bet the over-under on how many points a player will score per game for that fantasy stuff. If you join MyBookie right now, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code ARMCHAIR25. That's ARMCHAIR25, ARMCHAIR25, ARMCHAIR25. And MyBookie will match your bets dollar for dollar up to $1,000. You play, you win, you get paid. And with that, the Guys in Ties podcast.
UVA football is the softest bunch of cream puffs, bow tie wearing, brie cheese eating, NASCAR wearing wussies I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to punch people from UVA right in the neck. They wear suits to games. That's absurd.
All right, this is the Guys in Ties podcast. This is Dustin, as I said earlier, and Rob is with me again. Rob, it's good to have you back. How is it being back in D.C.?
It was more fun in Minneapolis. I will not lie.
You're not going to lie.
Conference room at my office right now. We are recording. I unfortunately am not there in person, but we got to get a pod out, man. It's too big a life moment to not get a pod.
We had to get a pod out, and the people were calling for it. We need to get one out. Now, the biggest thing on everyone's minds, of course, is championship game. We won the national title. UVA is the best basketball team in the country. No one can ever take that away from us. Rob, how was the – before we get into analytics and stuff, how was the atmosphere not only in Minneapolis but also just in the stadium? Like, what was that like?
Dude, I mean, it was incredible. You know, you were there for the Final Four, and it was like that all over again.
Yeah.
And amplified. You know, it was – I would say Texas Tech probably – they probably had a few more people there than the UVA side, but that made it like all the more crazy, dude. It was like, it was so wild because it clearly wasn't really a home game for either team, although there was probably more on the Texas Tech side, but just the going back and forth and the cheering across the stadium. And I mean, it was just like the Auburn game the day before, 2 days before, when we were trading blows and they were coming back and forth and back and forth, and especially down the stretch in the second half. I mean, it was wild, man. I mean, talk about a second half. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. it was wild, man.
No, I mean, it was an insane game. I was watching at a bar in DC with some friends, and we were just losing our minds. Of course, I couldn't hear anything, so I couldn't hear what the announcers were saying. But I mean, the game was back and forth. Every time we hit a three or took a big lead, Texas Tech seemed to, you know, get it back. And it was an amazing game. I mean, for all the people who said that it was going to be a bad game, this was not a bad game at all. I mean, it was an incredible game. Both teams really played awesome. And luckily, there's a few things that went Virginia's way that really decided the outcome. And I want to ask you about the out-of-bounds play in overtime when DeAndre knocked it out of Moretti's hands with about a minute 30 left. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And originally, it was called out on Dre. They looked at it on tape, and of course, it touches Moretti's fingers right before it goes out. And of course, in live time, you're always going to call that on the defender. But in slow-mo, it clearly goes off his hands. So what are your thoughts on that play? Because that seems to be the kind of the thing that the Texas Tech people are, you know, chomping on the bit at, is just the fact that this play that usually goes on the offensive player's way was called for UVA ball.
I mean, it was the right call. And the stadium, yeah. I'm not going to lie, you couldn't really tell, but mm-hmm. it was the right call. And that's why you have replay for under 2 minutes for calls just like that. Not to review double dribbles, by the way.
You're right.
Like Auburn. But no, that's why you have replay. And it was the right call. And I mean, that's not what decided the game. I mean, to me, you know, like, I felt very confident in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
The minute DeAndre Hunter hits that three in the corner, and then Mamadi Diakite gets that block on the other end.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was like, oh my God, I'm actually kind of confident right now.
Yeah,
it was the right call. And yeah, what'd you think?
Yeah, I felt confident going into overtime, because when DeAndre hit that three to tie the game up, I thought that we would have, I thought we'd have another chance to shoot the ball and win it. But unfortunately, DeAndre and Kyle had a miscommunication. DeAndre turned it over, and we almost lost. But luckily, Braxton, who we're going to talk about later, Braxton gets the block and is able to send it to overtime. So in overtime, I thought that Virginia really dominated. We hit all of our free throws, and Texas Tech really couldn't. You know, we just kind of strangled them to death in overtime, when we really couldn't pull away in either first half or the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible performance. I mean, what were we, 12 for 12 from the line?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mamadi Diakite hits the front end of a 1-1.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he doesn't hit that shot. Maybe we're talking about a different overtime.
Yeah.
You know, it was – I can't believe I read online somewhere it was like roughly like a 4% chance that all of those players would hit all of their free throws just mm-hmm. based on season percentages. I mean, you know, God, I want to say it's just preparation.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, these guys have been in so many close games, and, you know, they're not a senior heavy team, but mm-mm. they're a junior heavy team.
Yeah.
And
upperclassmen.
There's a lot of experience on that roster.
There's
and
a lot.
I feel like that just matters.
But, you know, there's not a lot of tournament experience. And,
yeah.
And I don't know if that mattered in this case, but they definitely know what failure is, and they know how to lose. And I think they took that and they internalized and they said, we're not losing this game. And they didn't lose the game. And honestly, it was probably one of the most complete offensive games of the year in my mind. Against one of the best defensive teams college basketball has ever seen, much less year.
That was the thing. I mean, going into the matchup, I felt confident we could limit Texas Tech offensively. Like, if they were going to score, it was going to have to be crazy shots and mm-hmm. Culver taking over, which, you know, all of the above. They scored 77 points. But
mm-hmm.
what I was scared is the offense would go stagnant.
That's what I was afraid of.
You know, they were so athletic. They're so long. It was actually kind of funny. Little tangent. We were celebrating after the game, and Texas Tech fans were coming up to us, and they were like, man, like, I didn't realize Virginia was so athletic.
Yeah.
It's like, when's the last time someone said that about UVA? That, well, they're just so athletic.
Right.
But, you know, it was the same way with Texas Tech. And I was scared the offense would go stagnant, that Ty's shots wouldn't fall or Kyle's shots wouldn't fall. And it was really the opposite. People were cutting. They were getting open. And even when we were doing the ISO plays, which I hate mm-hmm. when Ty just takes the ball and ISOs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was hitting fade back, you know, turnaround jumpers like Kobe Bryant out there.
Right.
Like, it was incredible. He scored 85 points.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the most points that Texas Tech gave up all year. And I think that that says something about our team this year versus our team last year, which of course last year was another historically good defensive team, but you know, the offense was mostly just shooting, like outside shooting. And if that went cold, it was bad, as we saw, you know? And I mean, luckily this year, I mean, in this game, we shot really well. We were 11 of 24 from three, and we were 20 of 23 from the line, which is amazing. We had 11 offensive boards, which I think is huge. Mm-hmm. And we did have 11 turnovers, though, which was a lot for us. But
I mean, some of those were just Dre, know, just bouncing off his ankles or something going right to the basket.
Yeah. The one thing that was weird and that I think is a testament to Texas Tech's defense is we only shot 46% from inside the arc. So we actually shot better from outside than we did from inside, which is a testament to how athletic they are, how good they are defensively, and the kind of team that they are. You know, they only had three blocks, but they're one of the best shot blocking teams in the country. And we were able to outshoot them, which, you know, was huge. Dre was 4 of 5 from three. Kyle was 4 of 9 from three. Ty was 2 of 6. Kihei made his one shot. And Mommy Braxton and Jay all missed their one shot. But, you know, we outshot them. And, you know, we keep coming back to Dre. Dre was the MVP of this game. He won this game for us. I mean, what a time to have a career high of 27 points.
Dude, for real. For real. I mean, and like, this is what we've talked about all season, and you talked about it on the podcast when we beat Auburn, you know. Our three guys had their best games today.
Yeah.
You know, Ty Jerome didn't have the points necessarily. Mm-hmm. He had 16 points, which is good, but you know, that he played an outstanding game, you know, 8 assists, 6 rebounds.
Only one turnover.
Dre with a career high, for real. Mm-hmm. One turnover. Dre with a career high 27. Kyle Guy with 24. Kyle Guy played all 45 minutes, Dre played 44, Ty played 42. Mm-hmm. Like, our guys came to play, man, and they knew what was at stake, and it just makes me so happy, man. Like, this whole tournament, we've been seeing one guy show up while the other guys not so much, or vice versa. Maybe two will show up and the other won't. And, you know, we didn't have another player score over 9 points, and that was Mamadi Diakite. Yeah. But I think this was the largest combined total for our big three all season. And, I mean, it was so important.
Well, we had two players over 20 points. When was the last time that happened? It might have been sometime this season, but honestly, I don't know. And I'm going to tell you that in Tony Bennett's time here, we almost never have two players hit 20 points, much less one player hit 20 points.
Yeah. You know? I mean, three players scored 67 points.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And speaking of the players, we're talking about players. Let's talk about Braxton for a sec, because we both think that Braxton was the difference in this game, because he didn't show up really for the rest of the tournament. I mean, the whole rest of the tournament, he really didn't do much.
Yeah.
But in this game, he showed up. He had 6 points. He had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 turnover, 1 block with 3 fouls in 28 minutes.
That block was at the buzzer.
Yeah.
In regulation.
Yes, yes. To save the season.
For real.
And I don't know. He played a really solid defensive game. I mean, even though he didn't have like a great offensive game per se, I mean, he still was in the offense. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, I just think that this is a good sign for next year when he's coming back, hopefully. I mean, I don't think he's going to leave.
No,
I don't think he should leave. But I think if he comes back this year, you know, it'll be really good for him to have this momentum going forward, because we're probably losing DeAndre, like almost definitely losing him. And Braxton's going to have to step up. Braxton's probably going to start next year. He's going to have a starter's role. He's going to play starter's minutes. He's going to have a little bit more points than he did this year. You know, a little bit more offensive impact.
Yeah. No, I remember we were talking to our good friend Seattle, who before the season, we were talking about Braxton Key, and he basically said, and what I didn't realize at the time was, hey, like, listen, it's better for the team if Braxton Key plays this season. It might be better individually for Braxton Key if he redshirts this season. Mm-hmm. And as far as the development of his game goes, and Braxton, you know, he had his struggles throughout the season, offensively, especially. He was always a solid defender.
Yep.
I would say he's the best rebounder on the team.
Yeah, he had the most rebounds per game on the team.
Yeah, but he struggled offensively. And you know what? It wasn't really that much different. Mm-hmm. You know, Monday night, he only had 6 points, two of which were dunks. One was the breakaway at the end. Another was a feed, I think, from Ty Jerome. Mm-hmm. And, but look, he played 29 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but that's got to be the most he's played in a game in a long time since early in the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came to play. And that's like, it was so important to have a guy like that, because Kihei still played 33 minutes, but a lot of Kihei's minutes went away, or at least a part of it them did, because Texas Tech was so long. They were athletic and they were physical. And mm-hmm. we needed a player like Braxton Key to come in there. I mean, Tony Bennett was experimenting with lineups, some lineups. Mamadi Diakite, DeAndre Hunter, and Braxton Key were all in at the same time. Other times he'd pull Mamadi Diakite, and Braxton was basically playing the five. Mm-hmm. And he played with a lot of lineups, and Braxton Key let him do that. And, you know, we saw Jack Salt only played 4 minutes, couldn't really keep up out mm-hmm. there. Jay Huff had a really rough 3 minutes, couldn't really keep up there.
Yeah, it was
you know, Braxton Key was, you know, he was so important to this win.
Right. Yeah, no, and I think without him, I don't know if we win this game. Honestly, I don't know.
I totally agree.
I don't know if we get here without him. I mean, he, you know, he didn't do much like in the rest of the tournament, but I think it has enough versatility to get us to this point. And he's kind of a Swiss Army knife defensively. You know, he can guard really the one through the five, depending on, you know, how big those guys are. And he's a really, really incredible defender, which I didn't realize coming into the season. You know, if we look back, I think we're more excited for his offensive game. I think I was. And
I definitely was.
But as the season came on, we were like, oh, you know, his offensive game is a little lacking sometimes. You know, he can hit some threes, but he doesn't always. And honestly, you know, his layups need some work. Like, there were, I can point to like a lot of times this season where I said, I can't believe he missed that layup. It just, you know, at this level in college, you know, you expect those guys to hit those kinds of shots. But, you know, hopefully with this game, he will bounce back for next year and he'll be able to take a step off this. You know, think about all the players who use the national championship game to kind of springboard into their next season. Think back to Luke May. Think back to Grayson Allen. I mean, I know those are different players on different teams, but I think Braxton's going to have a starting role next year, and he's going to have to play a lot of minutes, and he's going to have to score. I mean, if we lose, God forbid, we lose DeAndre, Ty, and Kyle, which is a very real possibility, our offense is going to be – we're going to have to find it somewhere, and Braxton's going to have to step up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we do like a – you know – on the pod planning, you know, we'll break it down that what this team is going to look like next season at some point. But, you know, he was so big, and I don't even know where I'm going with this, man. I'm still like happy. I'm still just like caught up with joy. A guy I do want to talk about though is Kyle Guy. You know, listen, he played all 45 minutes, 24 mm-hmm. points, and earned tournament MVP, which is really just Final Four MVP, I think.
Yeah.
But Dustin, I know you talked about his performance at the line against Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, what was your thoughts on his performance against Texas Tech? And do you think it was the right call to make him Final Four MVP?
Yeah, I mean, I think just with the two games that he played against Auburn and against Texas Tech, I think that there was no other choice, really. He's the face of this team. Even if he's not, I mean, even if DeAndre's the best player, even if, you know, there's always this talk about who's the best player, who's the most important player, who's the face of the team. There's this kind of weird thing where I think we have three different guys for those roles. I think DeAndre's the best player. I think Ty's the most important player. And I think Kyle is the face of the team. And they all do their roles in really different ways, and they do it really well. But I think that, you know, Kyle's out there. He's been so outspoken about this team's successes and failures in the past. And honestly, you know, people know him. I think people know DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome now, but I mean, going into the tournament, Kyle was on, you know, all the posters. He was the face of the team. On the Final Four stuff, you know, when they had four players, one from each team, it was Kyle. It wasn't DeAndre. It wasn't Ty. It was Kyle. So I think that Kyle's kind of the face of the team, and so I think that has something to do with it. You know, I mean, think back to last season when he was first team All ACC last season. And I think it's kind of the same thing, you know. Yeah, he was the best offensive player on Virginia, or he's the most exciting offensive player in Virginia. Doesn't mean he necessarily is the best. I think that goes to DeAndre, who had the best game, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think that it speaks to it speaks to the fact that people know him, and he's the guy for this team. To not to have a pun, but he is the guy. He's the guy.
Dude, well, I think it all goes back to, you know, first off, when are we going to get our 30 for 30? I'm waiting for that.
It's,
do we get
it's
it 2 years,
be
3 years?
In a year.
It's,
1 year.
It's coming.
1 year.
A year?
That's my guess.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready for our 30 for 30.
It's going to be great.
Listen, ESPN 30 for 30 tweeted out a photo after the game. It's like, what if I told you? And it was a picture of Kyle Guy, mm-hmm. like, in his hands, you know, last year, and the picture of him celebrating, you know, the front of Sports
so
Illustrated,
good.
All
That's
that.
Such an amazing picture.
I love it. I love it. And I mean, it felt right. You know, mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right. When they do the 30 for 30 on us, they're going to talk about the different roles people had and how Mamadi Diakite stepped up in the tournament. Yeah. And Kihei Clark kind of doubted all year.
Wow.
Braxton Key has this big year, but you know, Kyle Guy is going to be kind of the one to tell the story.
Can we talk about, keep talking.
Oh no. Let's keep talking, man.
Okay. I was going to say, let's talk about Kihei, because Kihei is incredible. He had an incredible game. I mean, to come back from all the hate that, you know, I don't know why UVA fans didn't like him. I want to say, if you go back to the before the season started, I was always high on Kihei Clark. I just want to say that.
No, and I mean, it's true.
I was here from the beginning. I said, this kid can play. And he came in. He's not the offensive threat that, you know, some of our other guards might have been. You know, think back to London even, or Malcolm, Devin. He's not them. He's different, and he's a different kid, and he's got a different heart, and he plays, and he plays hard. He limited Matt Mooney, who made the all Final Four team, to 10 points, most of which came.
He was incredible against Michigan State.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was reigning from Michigan State, and he limited Matt Mooney to, you know, 10 points, and which seems like a lot, but considering the fact that Mooney only took 6 threes, he was 2-6, and he's known as like the 3-point shooter, and he's a 6'3", 200-pound senior guard. So mm-hmm. Kihei, who has like he's lost like 6 inches on him, and definitely 50 or 60 pounds. It was an incredible performance against one of the better guards in the country.
Yeah, and I think what's important with Kihei is fans get frustrated, and you know, he came back a little slow after he broke his wrist, but like he broke his wrist, you know, of course he was probably going to come back a little bit slow. He had surgery on it. And I think what's important with Kihei is you have to understand him within the framework of the team. You know what? He's on the floor to be a defender and to be a ball handler. That's what he is. And if you get scoring out of him, that's a bonus. Now, I don't think he'll ever make an all ACC team like that, unless his scoring really picks up.
The all defensive team.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a chance. I mean, ESPN went through that phase where they thought Trey Jones was the best defender in the ACC, and it turns out it was DeAndre Hunter, by the way. But no, I mean, he's a terrific defender, and you saw he picked that guy's pocket against Auburn, got the layup, and, you know, he did an awesome job on Mooney. And listen, next season especially, when we're going to be thin on guards, and we can talk about this in another episode. It wouldn't surprise me if we had a transfer come in. You know, Morcell's going to play. He's absolutely going to play.
Yeah.
But listen, we're going to need guards. And
Kihei's going to
play. Kihei's going to be the point guard.
He's going to start.
Kihei is going to be needed for every minute he gets next season.
I mean, he started this year. He's definitely going to start next year.
He played 33 minutes.
I know.
Against
the national championship game. This
against a team that was way bigger, cute, physical, everything.
This three-star recruit who was passed up by all the high majors in his state. And he's playing in the national championship. And he started. And he played 33 minutes.
You know, if Tony Bennett was at UCLA, he might have picked him up. Just FYI.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if Tony Bennett ever said no, by the way.
I don't think he ever said no, but they got Mick Cronin, so you know, they're doing all right.
Yep.
Just kidding. That's a horrible hire.
Tried, man. They tried.
Anyway, let's come back to Virginia. And can we do our J Huff segment? Let's do a quick J Huff segment. He played awful in this game, and that's not to say that I did expect him to play better. And I was talking with my good friend Avik. You know, he's been on the pod before, but Avik was saying, you know, if J Huff is going to come in, he's going to give up some points, but hopefully he can offset those points with some more points. You know, you give and you take with J Huff. But he came in, He let a big man slip a screen. He let Tariq Owens slip a screen for a big nasty dunk in the first half, and then he missed his only 3-point attempt. He only played 3 minutes, so it's not to say that maybe he wouldn't play better, but you know the matchup wasn't there, and I don't think he was ready for the stage of NCAA tournament. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know if it. I think he's just still limited athletically right now. I still think he's just not used to his body and he needs to put on weight. You know, I'm with you. I expected him to play, but I expected him to play more to stretch the floor than anything else.
Yeah,
offensively, to open up the lanes. You know, maybe he wouldn't touch the ball. And, I mean, Texas Tech was prepared, man. They would do the screen and roll with him that they liked so much, and they covered it every time. And, you know, we only saw it a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, he only got one shot out of it.
Yeah, and then
it looked it was a good look, but you know he just missed it.
Oh yeah,
it.
You want him to take those looks.
Yeah,
but I mean defensively, to me, he was responsible for 7 points in those 3 minutes.
I think so. Yeah,
he let Tariq Owens slip and get the dunk. He had a rebound come to him that he dropped,
right,
and that resulted in a 3-pointer, and then he had another foul, which was 2 points.
Yeah.
And Tony Bennett yanked him. I think he put Jack Saad in afterwards. Which
I think
is actually interesting.
Yeah.
Because Saad only played 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because Mamadi Diakite picked up 2 quick fouls in the first half and sat the final 10 minutes, which is really when Texas Tech kind of came on their run to kind of even the score at the end of the game. So Jay Huff is a player that I hope and I'm expecting will have a bigger role next season.
Yeah.
And I think he's still just growing physically. I mean, listen, Mamadi Diakite, I think, is still growing physically, you know, and he was another guy who came in, not as tall as Jay Huff, but came in really needing a college-level weight program.
Raw.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jay Huff has already put on, like, 40 or 50 pounds.
Yeah.
He'll put on more weight.
He's still thin. He still needs to put on more weight. Well, you know, I do want to say, I saw a picture of the recruiting class that had DeAndre, Ty, Kyle, and Jay. Jay only looks 2 or 3 inches taller than DeAndre in that photo. And I don't know if it's something to do with distance or, you know, whatever, if it's just the picture, but I think, I mean, he's definitely grown taller since he's been at UVA.
I think his freshman year, he was listed at 6'11".
Yeah, and now he's 7'2".
He was listed 7'1". Yeah.
I think he's 7'2".
Yeah, I mean, either way, he's the tallest guy on the
team. He's listed at 7'1" on KenPom, but he's definitely grown at least 2 inches since he's been at UVA. So, and that's still weird. You know, I mean, and we've said this before, think back to puberty when you didn't know how long your arms are and your legs are. I mean, you're awkward. And I think Jay is still, you know, he's still learning how to move his body.
Yeah. And listen, having a full off season is going to help him so much.
Yes.
He missed 4 months with a shoulder injury last year.
Yeah.
It's going to matter so much.
I feel like we've said this for 3 years, you know, Jay Huff needs this off season. Jay Huff is really going to need this one after UMBC. And then this year it's like, this one's going to be even better. It's kind of like, I don't know what it's like, but it just keeps going. But I'm excited. He's only a sophomore. He's got 2 more years. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. That's our Jay Huff segment. We love him. We love him. He's also another player who's got to step up next year and, you know, take over a little bit. I think if he finds himself, and I think if Tony is okay with allowing him to swap defense for offense a little bit, I think Jay can be really dominant.
Well, I think a lot of it comes back to the quote Tony Bennett had. I think it was, I can't remember where in the tournament run. It was somewhere near the beginning, but they were asking, you know, he used to run almost exclusively mover blocker, and they asked Tony Bennett, like, how'd you get away from that? You know, how'd you decide to tinker with different things? And he basically said, you got to be creative as a coach, and you got to realize the personnel you have and build your schemes around those players. You know, still rely on fundamentals and the same things, the pillars, if you will, that, you know, guide the program. But if you're not flexible, man, then if you can't adapt, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
And we saw that a lot with Tony Bennett this year. You know, even down the stretch of this Texas Tech game, man, you know, it was just ISO for Ty Jerome for so much of it.
Yeah.
And Ty really did a great job and finding open people and, you know, scoring those tough baskets when he had to. And I think the offensive versatility, you know, the mover blocker is a good way to set up, you know, everything. It's a good way to get the ball moving. And, you know, we're going to have some younger and different players next year.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a way to get them more involved and provide them something more simple to kind of drill down those fundamentals. But, man, I mean, Jay Huff is a guy that, as Tony Bennett continues to evolve as an offensive coach, and he will, he's still definitely evolving and willing to change his lineups. I think Jay Huff and similar type of players to him are going to benefit from that. Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the lineup, and next year is going to be really strange because we're going to be very top heavy and very bottom heavy as well. We're not going to have a lot of sophomore players. We're not going to have a lot of juniors. We're going to have seniors and freshmen and some, you know, just kind of all over the place, which is really interesting because this year we were really junior heavy. You know, Mamadi, yeah. Ty, Dre, Kyle, Braxton, all juniors. And, I mean, God forbid if they all stayed. Let's run this back. That's not going to happen. I think DeAndre's almost 100% gone. Especially after his championship game. I think that he's definitely gone. He showed why he's a lottery pick in that game.
Yep.
It's exactly what I needed from him in that game.
Yeah.
I think Ty's gone too. I think Ty can't get much better at UVA. I think that he is probably going to get the green light from some NBA team, and he's probably going to go.
Yep.
Right now, he's hovering around late first round grade. I think that's good enough for him. I don't know for sure, but my gut tells me that he's gone.
And yeah, I agree. I think Dre and Ty are sure things.
I think gone. Kyle, I'm not. I have no idea actually. I have no idea what he's thinking.
So I was leaning towards Kyle staying.
I think
now after the championship game, yeah. I almost want him to go. Like I want him to. No, it sounds dumb. I almost want Kyle Guy to leave because he went out on top, man. He went out with the greatest redemption story. And does he come back for his senior year for a team that's going to be a 3-4-5 seed next year?
Yeah.
Like, I almost want him to go. I want him to have this story. And I like what Seth Greenberg says about him. Seth Greenberg just says he's an elite shooter. You know, every time he talks about Kyle Guy, he's one of the elite shooters in college basketball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't have the size necessarily or the build of kind of these other great shooters in the league, which Joe Harris might be one of now.
Right.
Your Kyle Korvers, your JJ Redick's, but I mean, dude, he is probably the best shooter I've seen in college basketball all season.
Yeah.
I mean, he is unreal from beyond the arc, and there's a place for him in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it depends on his draft grade. You know, sometimes a team will promise a player that they'll take him in the first round and they'll go, and that's it. Sometimes players are okay with taking that second round draft grade and they'll go, you know, they still get paid. They still get a lot of perks in the NBA. And even if he doesn't make it to the NBA, he's going to be a heck of a European player or in China or Australia or something, you know? I think he'll definitely declare for the draft. I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah, I mean, heck, Mamadi probably.
I think Mamadi also declares for the draft.
Wants to go get an evaluation.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would help his game a lot too. You know, they'll tell him what he needs to work on because I think he's an NBA player. Mamadi is. I think if he can work on his 3-point shot a little bit more, get that consistent. I think if he can get some more post moves, and he's an elite defender already, so I think Mamadi can be an NBA player someday. But I think he honestly declares for the draft and comes back.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't shock me at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's the type of guy that he's come so far. I mean, listen, the dude played 25 minutes against Texas Tech. I don't think he could have played 25 minutes against a team like that.
No.
If he wanted to 2 years ago, and he only picked up so many fouls.
And only fouled once in the second half and overtime.
Yeah.
He only ended with 3 fouls. He had 2 in the first 10 minutes and ended with only 3. And I think that has a lot to do with Tariq Owens fouling out, you know, because he was guarding him, and that was a tough dude to guard. But, you know, Mamadi he's improved so much, not only from last season to this season, but from the beginning of this season to now. He has grown as a player. He's gotten confident. And I think he's going to be a tear in the ACC next year. He's going to terrorize some people.
Listen, if all three of those guys go, Guy, Hunter, and Jerome, our offense might run through Mamadi Diakite.
And Jay.
Yeah.
Kihei, Jay, Mamadi, Braxton.
It's crazy to think.
Yeah. And I'm excited for next year. I think, honestly, I don't know where to go from here. Can we talk about where do we go as a fan base? Because I think, no, I mean, honestly, I thought about this. We got to where we wanted to go. Like, we're a validated program. We never have to go back to hearing people say, you're not a real team. You can never win with that kind of style. You're too slow. You're boring. We never have to take any of that again. We can just say Natty. That's it.
Yeah, people national will still say it. We just don't have to listen to it.
We'll just flash our national championship t-shirts at them.
That's right.
Which I still need to get. I need to buy mine. But anyway.
Oh, I know. We were totally going to get merch after the game. And then we're like, no, we got to start partying. merch later.
But yeah, I think that next year, I don't know where to go next year. Like, what do we expect? Do we expect another national championship? Because I don't think so. With the team that I see next year, I think a national championship is not, I mean, it's feasible, definitely, but I don't think that, honestly, it's what we aim for again. Like, what do we aim for now?
I mean, I feel like you always aim for the ACC championship and the national title, but no, I view next year kind of as that 16-17 season, that season where Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, they were freshmen, London Prentice was kind of the leader of that team. You know, it's definitely going to be a rebuilding year.
I think
I think that's just going to be how it is, which is almost why I want Kyle Guy to go. Just, hey, man, you had your fun. You went out on rebuild. Top. Yeah. Well, it won't be a full rebuild. And listen, Tony has done this so many times. He's been successful so many times. But it's going to be a little bit of a reloading year for sure. And
we lose Jack Stahl. I mean, how do we replace that?
I think Kafaro is going to be a terrific addition.
I think he is.
I think he's going to be awesome.
I think he's good. I'm excited for him. Although he's not as big yet. Although Jack was about, I think Jack was about his size when he was a freshman too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds right. But listen, I don't know where we go. You know, I think obviously the goal is always to win the ACC, to win the championship. And, you know, we'll figure out kind of as the season goes on. Are we going to pick up, or as the off season goes on, are we going to pick up any new recruits for next year? I know the staff's already working on having people visiting. I know we're going to evaluate transfers. And I think we will get a transfer at some guard position.
I think we have to, yeah.
Yeah, we just need that depth. And, you know, we'll figure it out, I guess. I mean, I don't think it's a bad problem to have, obviously, but
it's like the best problem ever. It's like when you have too many good players, you know, that's a great problem to have. This is also a great problem to have. We win the national championship, everyone leaves. And that's a great problem to have. But I'm excited for just the upcoming weeks when we keep seeing, you know, national championship stuff. And, you know, we're going to get all this cool stuff from Nike. And, you know, we're the God knows why, we're the favorites to win the championship next season. Early Vegas odds.
Yeah, I don't think they did research on that.
Do not follow those odds.
Don't do that on my bookie.
Do not do that on my bookie. Do not take that bet. We are not betting, guys, but what we are telling you now, do not take that 5-1 odds. Those are bad. Those are bad odds. But yeah, I think that honestly, this is it. I mean, and we've made it. I think that's the most important part, is just soak it in. Realize that we are a team that people are going to recognize now. The program is a program that people respect now. And nothing can take that away from us. Unless we lose to another 16 seed, which case we'll win a national championship in next year. Right. Funny thing, every team that has lost to a 16 seed has won the national championship the year after.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that about 15 seeds. Although I don't know that for sure. I'm just pulling that out of my butt. But anyway.
I'm pretty confident that's the case.
Rob, is there anything else you want to add?
Maybe we just give our great listeners just a taste of our experience in Minneapolis. You know, maybe be selfish for a little bit, but I mean, I guess, Dustin, what was your experience like, you know, games, outside of the games? Like, what was this weekend like?
I can't wait to go back. And I think that's the best part, is that even if we had lost against Auburn, which would have been devastating, I think I would have still had a great memory of Minneapolis. I mean, all the fans there were awesome. And I talked a little bit about this last time. But the fans, like talking to Michigan State fans, talking to Texas Tech fans, talking to Auburn fans even, you know, everyone was super nice and happy and welcoming. And Everyone in Minneapolis was awesome. The hotels were great. Like, the decorations in the team hotel were outstanding. And just seeing everyone everywhere be like, oh, you're here for the Final Four. Have a great time. And I just think it was an awesome experience. I can't wait to go back. Hopefully next year. Hopefully the year after. Hopefully every year. But I understand that it's not an every year kind of deal. So I'm excited to go back, and I can't wait for that time.
Dude, yeah. So you were – you had this set in stone. You know, last episode I was on, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go to the Final Four.
Right.
I pulled the trigger 24 hours later. I got the tickets, and
– Rob lied to me. Dude, like, he said, I'm not going. And then – and I was like, Rob – I was going. I was like, Rob, you want to come with me? He said, nah. And then he texted me the next day. He's like, hey, Dustin, I'm going to the Final Four. And I was like, oh, dude. My gosh.
Yeah, I think I gained like 5 pounds. Like, I went up a belt buckle after this weekend, so I got to get to the gym, get back to it. But, dude, great weekend. Honestly, dude, Texas Tech fans, at least the ones there, were all class.
They're nuts, though. They're crazy.
Oh, they're crazy. But they all came up to us after the game. As Dustin knows, we spent way too much time at Sneaky Pete's. We pregame there Saturday, and turns out it was a Michigan State bar. And then that was awkward. Yeah, we did not know that. And then we were there Sunday, and then we were there Monday again. But dude, the food was great. The people were great. The Texas Tech fans, so many of them came up to us after the game. We were just like, hey, man, like, terrific game. Like, you know, both teams left it all on the floor.
It's like objectively a great game.
Yeah. And dude, we even ran into some people who listened to us up there, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
And dude, it was just an awesome weekend, man. Like, you know, hopefully that joy never wears off, dude, because that was like so cool. Yeah. It was so cool.
No, it was awesome. And this joy has come in the morning. It is morning. Hopefully it stays this way for a long time. I don't know. You know, last year I thought about the UMBC game every day. Hopefully I think about the national championship every day this year. And I can't wait to continue to do that. And I think with that, I think we are going to wrap this up. Rob, is there any last thing you want to say, any final thought?
Man, I mean, it's so gratifying, man. Just for Tony Bennett, for our fan base. You know, I was talking to my dad, and my dad was the same class as Ralph, graduated '83, and he was like, man, I saw Ralph for 2 years or 4 years.
Yeah.
If Ralph couldn't do it, I didn't think it would ever happen.
Yeah.
I didn't think Virginia could ever win a national championship.
And yeah.
For Tony Bennett to be the guy that delivers it, it just, dude, that's the storybook ending, man.
Right. No, I agree. Someone posted on Twitter a list of coaches and when they won their first title. And Tony Bennett won it after 13 years as coach. Coach K won it after 16 years. Bill Self won it after 16 years. Roy Williams after 17 years. Rick Pitino after 18 years. John Calipari after 20 years. Dean Smith, 21 years. Jay Wright, 22 years. Jim Calhoun, 27 years. I mean, Tony has won his first national title early in his coaching career, his head coaching career. And that is something that is outstanding, is that he's been able to build this program up to this level already. And I can't wait for what's next. Where's a lifetime contract for Tony?
We don't do that at UBA.
I know. We're not that dumb. But anyway,
hopefully Tony Bennett is here for the next 20 plus years.
I hope so too. Anyway, this has been the Guys and Ties podcast. Thank you all for listening. We love doing this. We can't wait to continue to do this. And we can't wait to do this for future Final Fours and future national championships. But give us a follow on Twitter at Guys and Ties Pod. Make sure to follow us on Snapchat and Instagram at Guys and Ties Pod. Rob, did you update those this weekend?
Yeah, dude, we got some bonus content on Monday night.
Nice.
Some bonus content on the Snapchat. And then, you know, you have a great picture of you and me that you tweeted out in the stadium.
It was beautiful. Beautiful people.
We're working those.
You know, it's a shame that we're stuck behind these microphones because people need to see our faces more often, I think. But make sure to follow us on iTunes and Podbean as well. Also, check us out on Armchair All-Americans. They picked us up. They're doing us a huge favor, and we love them out there. So check out their website. They got some awesome content on there. You can follow all your favorite teams. And we will see you guys next week. Go Hoos, baby. National champions.
Yes, sir.
Beat everyone. Go Hoos.